This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
COVID package approved. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, March 11. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The House has passed the massive coronavirus aid bill. It will be signed into law tomorrow, but when will Americans receive stimulus checks?
President Biden wants to purchase an additional 100 million doses of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine.
The most serious allegations by a female aide have now emerged against embattled New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
And why women are reporting worse reactions to COVID vaccines than men.
There is actual research to support this. There's a CDC study that just came out that tracks the side effects that were reported to the institution about side effects, and found 79% of the reports they got about side effects came from women, even though women only accounted for 61% of the vaccine.
Melinda Wenner-Moyer on the worst side effects for women from the COVID vaccines. House Democrats have used their slim majority to pass the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill, which includes things like $1,400 stimulus checks and enhanced unemployment benefits. Approval yesterday came just as the nation begins to emerge from a year now of pandemic-related shutdowns. President Biden plans to give a prime-time speech tonight about the nation's response and sign the bill tomorrow. Today is the one-year anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring the coronavirus a pandemic. Republicans oppose the bill, as you know, attacking its price tag and calling many of its measures bloated or unnecessary and unrelated to the crisis. For example, the bill also puts roughly $86 billion into a new program to help multi-employer pension plans. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
You know, we warned people on the internet about email scams. It's like the ones of those emails where you get a promise you'll get millions of dollars, but first you have to wire them some money. That's exactly what's happening here today.
Major expansions to several aid programs for low-income Americans will be temporary under the bill, though Democrats hope to make them permanent later in a broader effort to expand the federal safety net. President Biden wants an additional 100 million doses of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine by the end of the year. He says if an agreement is completed, the additional supply would double the company's previous commitment to provide 100 million doses. Taking into account commitments by Pfizer and Moderna, Mr. Biden says the U.S. is expected to have more than enough supply by the end of May to vaccinate the eligible U.S. population.
Produce another 100 million doses and purchase another 100 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'm doing this because in this wartime efforts, we need maximum flexibility.
Separately, a monoclonal antibody drug developed in part by GlaxoSmithKline reduced hospitalizations or death from COVID-19 by 85% compared with a placebo. Based on the positive results, the companies involved will immediately ask health regulators in the U.S. and other countries to authorize the therapy. Also of note, New Jersey restaurants, gyms, salons, and other businesses can increase capacity to 50% beginning next Friday. After weeks of roadblocks and marathon debates, the COVID relief bill is now about to become law, just as the federal boost to unemployment benefits expires for millions of Americans. More on the finer points of the measure from Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Jess, take us through it.
So under the package, as you mentioned, many Americans would receive up to $1,400 stimulus checks, and the relief package would extend that obviously badly needed jobless aid to September 6th and continue to offer recipients an extra $300 per week. When it comes to the timing of the stimulus checks, because I've gotten a lot of questions from our readers about that, Americans should see them land in their bank account in just a matter of a few weeks, especially for those who filed via direct deposit. So, for instance, as long as this package comes through and is passed into law, by March 14th, the first direct deposits may start hitting bank accounts the week of March 22nd, and wow. paper checks may be sent out the week of March 29th, just based on the timeline for prior relief plans.
Okay, so talk about who qualifies this time around.
Exactly. Not everyone who got a relief check last time will be eligible this time around. The payments would amount to $1,400 for a single person or $2,800 for a married couple filing jointly, plus an additional $1,400 for each dependent child. The payments would start to phase out for individuals earning $75,000 and cut off completely for anyone who makes more than $80,000. When it comes to couples filing jointly, the phase-out would start for those making $150,000 and cut off at $160,000. So basically, that may exclude as many as 8 million people who had received checks in the prior round.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then switch hats, and let's talk about the enhanced unemployment benefits, which will go through the first week of September, but there's been an important tax adjustment here, too.
There has. And So the bill would extend the enhanced jobless benefits that would, as you mentioned, last until September 6th, and it would continue to include those $300 a week boost to benefits. The first $10,200 of unemployment benefits would be exempt from taxes for the first time to basically prevent any sort of surprise bills for those who are unemployed at the end of the year. And the provision applies to households with incomes less than $150,000. So that's a big difference. And a lot of people were surprised by some of the potential tax bills they were going to face because not many people realize whenever you sign up for your unemployment claims, you need to choose to get them directly taxed for state and federal benefits. So it's possible that some people may have missed that. And then all of a sudden, when they were doing their taxes, they may have been hit with a bill.
Mm. We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. She's got a look inside the COVID-19 relief package. Explain the child tax credit expanding.
It would include a temporary increase for the child tax credit for 2021. So for this year, the credit is typically worth $2,000 per child under 17 that can be claimed as a dependent. But the difference here is now those who are 17 years old can actually be claimed, not under just 17. And it would temporarily boost the credit to $3,000 per child or $3,600 per child for those that are under six. The credit will begin to phase out for those earning more than $75,000 a year or $150,000 for those married filing jointly. So families who might not be eligible for the higher credit, say the $3,000 or the $3,600, they might still be able to claim the typical $2,000 credit per child.
Okay. Anything on the student loan front?
When it comes to student loans, that actually was something that the government had already extended earlier this year. So when it comes to student loan relief, that's going to be up until September now, but Biden had signed an executive action letting that be extended through to the late summer. So, and that's for specifically when it comes to federal student loans. If you have private student loans, that's something that you would have to continue to work with your lender. But basically, as of right now, it's through the end of September.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton from USA Today, sampling the editorial pages, by the way. The New York Times says it's a big win for those of modest means. The Times says the legislation has the potential to cut poverty by a third and reduce child poverty by more than half. It cites research by Columbia University. On the other side, the Wall Street Journal says the goal of this Democratic program is not COVID relief. The Journal says the point is to expand and solidify the role of government as the guarantor of every American's income, unlinked to any obligation to work. Coming up next, uncomfortable new allegations against the governor of New York. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday. A newspaper is reporting that an aide to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he groped her in the governor's executive mansion in Albany, marking the most serious allegations among those made by a series of women. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Times-Union of Albany reported that the woman, who was not identified, was alone with Mr. Cuomo when he closed the door, reached under her shirt, and fondled her. The newspaper's reporting is based on an unnamed source with direct knowledge of the woman's accusation. The governor had summoned her, saying he needed help with his cell phone. The woman also indicated to the Times-Union that Mr. Cuomo had touched her and made flirtatious comments on multiple occasions. He faces harassment allegations from five other women. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. A spokesperson last evening released a statement in which Mr. Cuomo says he's never done anything like this and is confident in the upcoming results after an investigation by the state attorney general. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A Congress riven along party lines has approved the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill as Democrats claim a victory on fighting the nation's pandemic and economic crises. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Who knows what the future may bring? But nonetheless, on this day, we celebrate because we are honoring a promise made by our president, and as we join with him in promising that help is on the way.
Number two.
The measure received no Republican support, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We're about to have a boom. And if we do have a boom, it will have absolutely nothing to do with this $1.9 trillion.
President Biden is expected to sign the measure tomorrow.
Number three.
President Biden has directed his administration to order another 100 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine, growing a likely U.S. surplus of doses later this year. J&J CEO Alex Gorsky.
In our new collaboration with Merck, it's going to allow us to even be more ambitious in our goals of keeping as many people around the world as safe as we possibly can with our effective one-dose vaccine.
The administration says the extra shots could be used for kids, variants, or boosters. They may also be sent to other countries. A couple who ran a faith-based boarding school in Missouri is facing more than 100 charges of sexual, physical, and emotional abuse that allegedly took place at their school. Authorities have charged Boyd and Stephanie Householder with offenses including second-degree statutory rape and sodomy. Since 2006, the Householders owned and operated the Circle of Hope Girls Ranch in Cedar County, a Christian school they said could reform rebellious teenagers. Authorities removed all the girls from the facility last year, and it has since been closed. The Senate has confirmed Merrick Garland as Attorney General, putting a respected jurist and experienced former prosecutor in charge of the Justice Department. The 68-year-old was confirmed in a 70-30 vote, with both Democrats and Republicans hailing him as uniquely equipped to restore morale, stability, and integrity to the department. Imagine having so much money that you charter 7 shipping containers for a model train. That's what singer Rod Stewart did, according to The Sun. The 76-year-old spent a fortune on moving the toy railroad, which is his pride and joy, from L.A. to the U.K., where he is relocating.
It's a long trip, too.
Yes.
L.A. That's not East Coast to the U.K.
It's very protected.
Thanks, Jen. Threats are growing that your personal data will show up on the dark web. How about these numbers? In 2020, 115 million stolen debit and credit cards were posted to dark web marketplaces. More from Malika Mitra, reporter at Money.com. Malika, staggering numbers.
Yeah, 115 million stolen debit and credit cards were posted to dark web marketplaces last year. You know, that's where criminals are able to post that stolen information and buy and sell it. So there are carding forums as well where they're chatting about stealing card information and sharing tips on how to hack websites. And, you know, once they steal your information, they can, of course, start charging your card. But if it's a debit card, they can also drain your account. And this is a growing problem. One of my sources told me it's not a matter of a few rogue criminals here and there, but it's a full-fledged economy, which is, you know, in line with what we're seeing at Money.com, across the board, scammers are getting more sophisticated and during the pandemic have more opportunity, feeding off of people's confusion and vulnerability.
Jeez. So if I'm a wannabe credit card thief or user, I can go to the dark web and purchase one of these cards with all like the available information on it. And then you've
exactly.
got the sellers who are going there too to sell the stuff.
Yep, exactly. And they're buying and selling, you know, hundreds or thousands at a time. So it's a lucrative crime for them.
Explain, too, the different ways that credit and debit cards can be breached.
Yeah, sure. So they can kind of breach the sale at the physical store. But then also a common one is hacking websites. So say you're online buying a pair of shoes, you put all your sensitive card information into that website, and they can actually hack that website.
And so in the U.S., these cards are for sale between $13 and $17 each. Is that right?
That was the case for a specific data leak we saw at one of these marketplaces a few years ago. But yeah, and it varies. You know, for cards sold internationally, it's up to, in that particular case, around $35.
Goodness. We're speaking with Malika Mitra, reporter at Money.com. She's written a piece about your credit and debit card info for sale on the dark web. How big of an industry is this, by the way?
It's a pretty big industry. I mean, for one of the bigger shops, which actually was recently shut down, they generated more than $1 billion from, you know, buying and selling stolen credit cards and debit cards.
So what? Review the basics here for what consumers can do to best protect themselves.
Absolutely. So there are a few things you can do. First of all, talk to your bank, see how you can protect yourself. A lot of them will let you set up text or email alerts for large transactions, any transactions.
Thanks, Malika. Malika Mitra, reporter at Money.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, March 11. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The House gave final approval to COVID relief. Checks could be in the accounts the week of March 22nd. A clinic at a Kroger in Virginia says a small number of people got an empty syringe for their COVID vaccine, but impacted customers have now received the proper shot. New details emerge about the alleged inappropriate behavior by New York's governor. Fresh record high for the Dow Industrials. The NBA resumes its schedule today, and the woman who received, quote, doctor's orders to hug her grandkids. That story in about 20 minutes. Men and women tend to respond differently to many kinds of vaccines, and it's true now of the COVID vaccines. Melinda Wenner-Moyer, science journalist contributing to the New York Times, says that's probably because of a mix of factors, including hormones, genes, and the dosing of the shots. Melinda, what are you hearing?
So I've talked to a lot of women. I also have had the COVID vaccine. I feel very fortunate. But what I have been hearing is that women have a lot more side effects than men. And in fact, now there is actual research to support this. There's a CDC study that just came out that tracks the side effects that were reported to the institution about side effects, and found 79% of the reports they got about side effects came from women, even though women only accounted for 61% of the vaccines.
Hmm. Yeah. And so Pfizer versus Moderna, or is that not an issue here?
They didn't break it down based on the kind of vaccine, and we also just don't know with the Johnson & Johnson. But it seems as though you know, women are reporting side effects to both of these vaccines more than men are.
Yeah, like what, for example? What are they going through?
There's a lot of chills that I'm hearing, flu-like symptoms, headache, fatigue. But, I mean, the good news is these are short-lived, and for the most part, they're mild. You know, you just kind of want to lie down for a while, may not be very hungry, but they generally, after about 24 hours, they're gone, and it's certainly better than the alternative, better than getting coronavirus, but a little unpleasant. Yeah.
And to a certain extent, that's a good sign, right? Doesn't that mean your body's immune system has responded and is fighting it?
Yes, exactly. So the silver lining in all this is when we have these side effects after vaccines, it's just evidence that they're working. It's evidence that our bodies are mounting that immune response that is then going to protect us from the coronavirus.
We're speaking with Melinda Wenner-Moyer, science journalist contributing to the New York Times. She's got a good story entitled Women Report Worse Side Effects After a COVID Vaccine. And I didn't realize, I guess, it's not just the COVID vaccine, right? It's other, even like the flu shot.
Yes, exactly. So this news about the COVID vaccine might be surprising to all of us, but to immunologists, this is completely expected. We have seen that women have stronger immune responses to pretty much everything, vaccines, other things, including themselves. Women have more autoimmune diseases. And it's really interesting. It's kind of across the board that we see this. And there's different possible reasons for it. And some of it could be that women are just more likely to report that they've gotten a side effect. We know like women are more likely to go to the doctor when they feel sick than men are. But it's almost certainly true, though, that there's an immunological reason, and there's basically biology at the root of this. Women's immune systems are built differently, and they work a little differently.
Well, women might go to the doctor quicker, but men are more likely to complain, no? Like babies?
That's my experience, yeah.
So, did you have some of the side effects, too?
I did. I had chills and a headache and fatigue. But again, it was really about 24 hours. The next day, I felt much better, a little tired, but much better. And then after that, I was perfectly fine.
Wow. So there's no such thing as kind of tailoring a vaccine to a female versus a male, is there? That wouldn't be done maybe in this day and age, or no?
Well, it could be done. And actually, a lot of researchers are calling for pharmaceutical companies to design trials in ways where they could test maybe a little bit lower dose in women. And that could have been done with the COVID vaccines. We could have, they had a lot going on. But it's possible to test different doses and then, you know, be able to mount a really protective immune response to a vaccine, but with a lower dose so you don't get quite as many side effects.
Wow. Toward the end of your story, too, you said the size of a vaccine dose can matter.
Right, exactly. So we might be able to just give a little bit less. And there are some drugs where we now actually recommend different dosages, sometimes half as much for women. That's true of Ambien, the sleep drug, because women used to have really bad side effects when they were given the same amount as men, and now they're given half as much, and those side effects are much improved. So, yeah, it may be possible to kind of personalize vaccines and drugs a little more so that women don't suffer from these effects.
I mean, should the people giving the injections mention this also? Should this come from your doctor? It can't hurt to have too much information, I'd imagine.
Yes, I think it's a great idea for doctors to pass this along. And to their credit, when I got the vaccine, I was warned by several people that, especially after the second vaccine, that I might feel a fever and some chills for about a day, and that was perfectly normal. So I think the more we can kind of normalize that and tell people this is what's expected and it's okay and it doesn't mean anything terrible is happening, the better.
Thanks, Melinda. Melinda Wenner-Moyer, science journalist contributing to The New York Times. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we've done more than a few stories on the Subway sandwich chain over the years, with most involving the weird orders from customers, such as the lettuce-only and Splenda top subs. But as bad as those sandwiches sound on paper, it's apparently nothing compared to actually seeing one being made. Fox News says a Subway employee on TikTok recently shared a clip of one such unusual sandwich, which, at the request of the customer, was drowned in one of the chain's spicy sauces. In the clip, which was seemingly filmed in secret from behind the counter, a Subway customer can be heard requesting an employee to drown her sandwich in one of the chain's signature condiments and tells her, quote, it needs to be oozing. Mm. In response, the employee nearly empties a bottle of creamy sriracha sauce on top of the sub. The clip has been viewed nearly 6 million times and nearly 17,000 users have commented, many of whom appear to be disgusted. Others, however, applauded the customer for asking for and getting exactly what she wanted, with one user saying that it takes a certain level of confidence to pull that off. Still others question whether the customer was actually going overboard with the sauce on purpose to make their own TikTok video. I kind of suspect something like that was going on. You know, the person was sort of playing it up almost as if they were on camera, like, ooh, it has to be oozing, you know, that kind of thing.
So staged?
Yeah, yeah, that's sort of what I feel like. Yeah. So that'll pop up at some point.
I can somewhat relate in that I'm a pepper junkie.
Yeah.
Love pepper. So when I put pepper on something, I don't just flip the lid and shake it. I actually unscrew the lid and pour it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of sift it, but I do take the lid off of pepper.
Oh. Well, then remind me the next time you ask me for, you know, salt, pepper, ketchup, I'll say, you know what? I'll do it myself.
Extra pepper. And the same thing, for some reason, if I'm having some sort of pasta dish or fish in a restaurant and the server asks us if you want, you know, fresh grated cheese.
Yeah.
The answer is yes, and just keep going.
Leave the bottle.
Keep going. Yeah, fresh ground pepper. Yep, yeah. Just keep twisting that thing. Keep going. Yep, more.
You're going to need to call in a replacement from the kitchen.
Yeah, and the server will back off and be like, and I'm like, nope, keep going, keep going.
Good to know. And folks living in Western Canada, please, please hold on to your phones. Just 24 hours after we told you about the Vancouver woman whose iPhone was found at the bottom of a lake after 6 months and still worked, we get a similar story. This time, a teenager in British Columbia was reunited with his iPhone after losing it 8 months ago while whitewater rafting. A woman named Patty Backus was combing the beach in front of her main island home for trash, and on a recent morning found a Frisbee, a $20 bill, and an iPhone 7 in a watertight case. Backus recounted on Twitter how she opened the case, charged the phone, and her husband correctly guessed the passcode, which was 123456.
Aye, aye, aye.
Backus found a contact for mom and texted the number, discovering the phone belonged to her woman's son, Hunter, who is 16. Hunter lost his phone when his raft overturned on a river in July. The phone apparently spent 8 months in the water, eventually making its way to Backus's beach.
Jeez, that's wild.
At least it was in a watertight case.
So
bad on the on the 123456 passcode for the kid, but at least he put it in a watertight case.
Yeah, and I'd like to elevate, you know, as somebody who's done a lot of rafting, they make wet bags.
Yes.
Yeah, you put all your personal belongings in there. The thing floats if you overturn, you know, and nothing gets wet. So come on here. Thank you, Mike. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Now that it's tax season, scammers will use one scheme after another to craft stimulus scams, file phony tax returns, or stage some drama to scare us into handing over our personal data. Best advice remains to simply hang up the phone on scammers and don't engage with their texts. The Detroit Free Press says Amy Nofziger, director of victim support for the AARP Fraud Watch Network, said one customer was contacted by someone supposedly from USA Tax Help 12 @gmail.com, who reportedly had a way to expedite a stimulus payment. The consumer unfortunately signed an electronic document, and now the scammers have his e-signature. Be wary if you receive an email stating you have documents to sign. If you have not requested any documents, it's likely a phishing attack. Another clue: a legit business is rarely using a web-based Gmail or Yahoo account. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Now that Congress's final passage of President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill is out of the way, the White House is laying the groundwork to move forward on Biden's other priorities. Over the past several weeks, Biden has been meeting with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to garner support for an infrastructure plan. The president will make his first address to the nation this evening, marking 1 year since the pandemic fundamentally changed our lives.
Number two.
The relief package is projected to help propel the U.S. economy to its fastest annual growth in nearly four decades, reduce poverty, and revive inflation. The legislation, following trillions of dollars in federal aid last year, and as vaccines ramp up, has economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal boosting their average forecast for 2021 economic growth to 5.95%.
Number three.
A NASA site in California is being considered as a potential location to house the growing number of migrants coming across the border. ABC News says the site in Mountain View could house unaccompanied minors in Customs and Border Protection custody. On Fox, Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas blamed the Biden administration for the recent influx.
There's a crisis. Thousands of people. I was just down there last weekend. Our Border Patrol is overwhelmed. And the fact that they're overwhelmed, processing people, being bus drivers, being daycare workers, guess who has to foot the bill for this? Texans.
Nearly 1,500 kids have been waiting longer than the legal limit of 72 hours without being transferred to Health and Human Services. An aide to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he groped her in the governor's residence, the most serious allegation made yet by a series of women against the embattled Democrat. The Times Union of Albany reported that the woman was alone with Cuomo late last year when he closed the door and reached under her shirt. The Senate has voted to confirm Michael Regan to lead the EPA. The 45-year-old, who previously served as head of North Carolina's environmental agency, is the second African-American to serve as EPA administrator. Add roller skates to the list of items that are in short supply due to the pandemic. Skate makers are seeing their strongest demand in decades as a public anxious for an escape looks to roll away their woes. Manufacturers are struggling to keep up as costs for raw materials are escalating and shipping containers are bottled up at ports.
Wow. Roller skates.
Can't get them.
How about that? A simple hug. It's the kind of moment many are starting to experience as vaccinations ramp up. One of life's simple joys that for many has felt distant over the past year and at times tainted by worry. This week, the CDC released guidelines giving fully vaccinated people a sense of how they can socialize and return to daily activities. The guidance, which said individuals 2 weeks past their final dose may visit indoors with unvaccinated members of a single household, freed many vaccinated grandparents to visit nearby kids and grandchildren. The Washington Post cites the example of Evelyn Shaw, who even after both coronavirus vaccine doses, couldn't shake the nervousness brought on by months of isolation. She was worried about hugging, but her worries were eased in the form of a handwritten note on a prescription pad with seven words she needed to hear from the doctor. It read, "You are allowed to hug your granddaughter." On a related note, my mom, by the way, who has a doctor who claims humans need 8 hugs per day. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.